Hello and welcome to On the Couch with M&M. M&M obviously for Maria and Manos.
This is where we go behind the scenes in real estate business ownership to give you great ideas and tips to help you create fun and profitable businesses so that you can live an extraordinary life.
Let's get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of On the Couch with M&M. Today I'm interviewing Manos and we're talking...
Real excited.
Yeah, it is, because we're talking about profitability, and this is one of Manos's favourite topics. So it's going to be a bit of a conversation, but I've got some questions to ask Manos. He is amazing, obviously, when it comes to numbers. Everybody knows this. And I've been really blessed because I've never... we've been partners all of our lives, as far as business is concerned, as well as obviously in life, but I've never had to worry about bills, have I?
No.
Manos.
I know of.
I've never paid a bill. Sorry, girls, I've been really lucky. It's usually the women that do this part
of, I have heard.
Of, you know, I have heard. Of the job at the house, but I've never had to do it. I've never, you know, I look at balance sheets and I know our profit and loss and we talk about business, but I never really had to really get involved with it because Manos loves it so much. And you've had many people ring you for advice from other businesses, and you love to talk to them about profitability. It's one of your favorite topics. So let's get started.
Yes.
You've also got a really good saying, which is, if you're waiting for your accountant to tell you if you're in profit,
it's too late.
So talk to us about that.
So what do I mean by that? So when we entered real estate, we came from the hospitality industry. So the hospitality industry is cash over the counter. For those who know, we ran a chain of fast food outlets called Flaky Jake's Fish and Chips. We had 7 outlets. It was a cash business. We had about 200 staff members, and it was extremely simple to manage the cash flow, extremely simple to work out a profit and loss. It was
Why was it simple?
It was simple because it was cash over the counter. So you bought a product into the business, and you simply sold it, you prepared it and sold it to the customer, and the customer paid you at the time of sale. Very unlike
So every week real estate. You could see what exactly. you spent and what you've so what you've
as, earned. As an example, it's a 30-30-30 rule in most retail yeah. environments, where if you did $10,000 worth of turnover, 30% normally attributed to stock, as in purchases. Yeah. The other 30% attributed to fixed overheads, including wages. And then you will hope to make a profit between 20 and 30%. That's for a business owner that's actually working in the business. If you're a business owner of a hospitality, you're not working in the business, profitability is between the 10 and 15%. But very, very simple.
So when you're talking about 20, 25%, that doesn't include wages.
No, certainly yeah. doesn't.
Yeah. So that's why it's at that level.
And so to do profit at the end of each week was very, very simple. You looked at the whole week, what you spent in expenses, cost of goods, and then whatever was left was your profit. Extremely simple to work out. Real estate, on the other hand, when we first entered, real estate was totally different.
Manos was in shock the first time I gave him a check. I remember I sold at my first house, and I've gone back to the office at Beach Street in Frankston, and I handed over the check, and he's looked at it and go, oh, great, we can pay some bills. I said, no, honey, you can't pay bills with that. That's got to go to the trust account.
Trust account. I thought we're going to use the deposit money from a house purchase to help us pay our yeah. fixed overheads.
Yeah.
Fixed overheads, people don't wait. Yes, you can get your 30, 60-day accounts from your suppliers, but your rent is due on the first of each month. Your insurance has to be paid up front, or your wages on a weekly basis, if not fortnightly. It's those things that you need the cash. Now, when you first open up a business, you're not going to see money from a sale, and that's for
60 to 90 days, and that's if you sell something straight away
in the first 30
days. So how much money do you have to have in the bank to
really, really simple. Yep. So from a cash flow point of view for a real estate office, most offices can start between a $20,000 to $25,000 fixed overhead, and we're talking about
every office is different.
Yes.
Let's say how the expenses every month are a certain amount. How many months of expenses, so everybody can actually relate it to their business, how many months of expenses should you have in the bank to know that you are covered?
I would definitely say, depending on where you're at in your real estate career and how quickly you can put listings and sales, and depending on the market, a minimum 3 to 6 months worth of business expenses and at least 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses
at a home.
So a lot of people discount that, or they forget to say, okay, I need a couple of grand a week to live, to feed the kids, to feed your home expenses, the mortgage, and people forget about that. So you really need that sort of cash flow. Now, of course, you can start small, and we encourage a lot of our team members to start what we call EBU and office suites, where the overheads are less than $5,000 to $8,000 per month, and then build on their resources, because as we've always mentioned, we love our organization and the people within our organization to be debt free.
Yeah.
So we really help them to say, okay, use your cash flow to get you to being debt free, and only don't expose yourself to risk, because it just adds the pressure. So going back to profitability and why you shouldn't be waiting for your accountant to tell you that you're in profit is that, let's say, for example, you've got fixed expenses of $20,000 in any particular month, but you do no sales for the month. But in that month, you have a whole bunch of settlements that are flowing into that month from previous previous months. And you might pull in $30,000, $40,000 worth of settlements, as an example. When your accountant sees that, he'll look at that month and say, well, you had $20,000 worth of expenses, $40,000 came in settlements.
You're $20,000 profit.
And you're $20,000 in profit. The accountant doesn't know that he actually made no sales that particular month. And so it's going to affect you in 2 to 3 months' time when there's no settlements coming in that third month. So where are you going to find that $20,000 of fixed overheads that are still going to apply for that month?
So the way we work it out, the way you work it out, is on what's sold each month.
Definitely.
On unconditional contracts.
Unconditional contracts.
So if you did 100,000 in sales for your office this month, I mean, they're not going to settle for 1 or 2 months, but we're in the month of May, say. So you did 100,000 in May and you've got 50,000 in expenses, you've made 50,000 in May, but there's none of that has come in.
No.
But that's where you work out the profit.
Exactly. You're already in the positive.
Mm.
And the great thing about tracking it on a monthly basis, we actually track it almost daily. Because we have systems in place to look at every single sale that goes through our business and to work out what portion of that sale, after paying all the expenses of that sale and the sales agent that obviously conducted that sale, how much of that remains in the business. And obviously you do your debits and your credits and you work out how much profit you made at the end of each month. It's just peace of mind. You're not going to see that money for a little further down the track, but it's peace of mind that I'm already in the black. If you're in the red, the other advantage of measuring your P&L and your
profit and loss,
prior to your accountant, is that if you do get in the red, you know that you've got to come up with that sort of money. So you need to You need to pull from cash resources, make sure you don't go buy that shiny new toy, or make quick changes in your business. I always say operate in code red.
I think that's the most important thing. Knowing daily, and I mean, you've trained Costa now, a 20-year-old, which is Manos' EA, to have a look at our profit or loss every single day. And
he knows every aspect of our business.
And you can quickly move, can't you? You can be really
agile.
When you know that things are changing, to be able to accommodate for that. But tell us, how do you know your break-even point?
Break-even point is something that we often talk about. It's those fixed expenses that you'll be spending as a cost to your business, whether or not you make a sale. So, for example, if you're renting premises, the rent. If you have insurance over those premises, the insurance. If you have subscriptions to all these portals, our real estate portals, then whether you make a sale or not, those monthly subscriptions are payable. So that's what I'll call your fixed, non-negotiable fixed expenses. Then there's the variable fixed expenses, which could be your property advertising. So property advertising, even though we collect the money from vendors, well, I'm really hoping the majority of people do get the vendor paid advertising.
Some of them do get it up front. You have to have the money.
You need to have the money. But that's a variable. And subject to you not collecting that money, it won't become an expense unless you don't collect it from the vendor. It'll become an expense.
Another variable one?
Well, apart from that, there isn't...
it's just marketing.
It's just marketing. And variable is commission-only sales agents. You pay on commission-only. But again, that's that you would accommodate the profit that you make from your commission-only sales agents on your weekly allocated sales register, what we do as a sales register, and how much money you get to keep and what you obviously pay your commission-only sales agent. Another fixed expense is your wages. So you can't instantly dismiss people. So that's a way. So whether you make a sale or not, the receptionist, your sales support, your trust accountant, hence why we've often said in other episodes, we'd love to outsource as much as our work, because sometimes it seems it may be a little bit more expensive, more economical to have it in-house, but it actually works out quite the reverse.
And because you only pay for what you use. When you've got someone working for you full-time, just for bookkeeping, for example, if we take that as an example, if you don't have any other work to give them, then that's, you know, you pay them that full-time wage, don't you?
That's right, without no...
So to recap, as fixed expenses, you've got rent, you've got insurance, you've got real estate portals, you've got wages, photocopier,
rent. Yeah, so
promotion is a good one. That could be a variable or a fixed, but it depends how you
run your business. We always say to everyone that you need to be promoting your business.
There's a percentage that you should put away for promotion?
We actually don't work on percentages. And the reason we don't work on percentages is because you could have a business turning over $500,000 a year, and you can have a business turning over $2 million. I'll tell you right now that the promotion that you need for both businesses will probably be about the same. People have a real misconception on how many billboards you need out there in the marketplace, how many, a letterbox drop, for example, if we look at letterbox drops, you can, and you saturate it once a month. So whether your business is doing $500,000 or $2 million in GCI, your letterbox drop allocation is still once a month. It doesn't add. Most people really need to understand where their lead sources are coming and then allocating the resources to those lead sources. Yeah. And most people will be pleasantly surprised that 60, 70, 80% of all your lead sources comes through marketing that doesn't cost you anything. And it's referrals, doing great buyer work, doing great vendor
getting
work,
back to
past
people.
Clients. So that's talking about obviously some costs.
Social media is a big one now as
and
well.
Social though. Media,
that's become part of our marketing strategy, and we've got a monthly fee that we pay towards that.
Of course. And that's a fixed
that's now
expense.
A fixed expense, and it wasn't there a couple of years ago, was it?
Yeah.
So businesses change all the time.
But the great thing about the Facebook marketing is it can be measured.
Yes.
It's measured. One other aspect of business that is often not talked about is the rent roll and how that helps you. That's the rent roll is really, really, really great aspect. I highly recommend every single business has a rent roll for two reasons. Sometimes a rent roll is there for cash flow if it's large enough. But the second thing, it's equity for the business owner as an exit strategy or just for a change in business direction and to provide an injection of cash. So whilst rent rolls are valuable now, and I don't see it in the foreseeable future that will change, I think the dynamic of rent rolls will totally change in the way we operate rent rolls and the way we engage with property managers. Mm. I think there is a change happening there, but that's for a discussion in another episode. But rent rolls, so long as you're meeting your fixed expenses of the employee, in most instances, there should be substantial cash left after to assist in the management of the fixed overheads of a business. So just as a rough guide, if you were running a rental department of about 150 properties, the cost, you'll be bringing in approximately around $200,000 worth of revenue, including management fees and let fees. Could be a little bit higher. We're just talking about some very competitive marketplaces where the fees, unlike some interstate areas, are really, really high. Average fees around the 6-7%. So you're bringing in about $200,000 in cash, which works out to about $16,000 per month. Now, if you're paying one property manager, The market rate is probably going to be between $5,000 and $6,000 per month, but let's work on $5,000. You're bringing in $15,000 in revenue. You've got an extra cash of $10,000 per month to attribute to your fixed expenses. And if your fixed expenses are $20,000,
that's if you're running it within the same building.
That's right.
Yeah. Because usually it's an interesting topic, actually, because if you're running it from the same building, then that you can say that $10,000 is all profit then after the sales.
I had many debates.
After paying the wages for that property manager, but that $10,000 should not attribute to a little bit of rent or maybe some of the telephone or some of the real estate. I know what you're going to say, and that's why I'm asking the question, because we've had that asked
of us all the time.
All the time. And you could. I mean, you could say 20% of it, but your profit is not going to be the same. But you don't agree, do you?
I totally disagree. Yeah. And I totally disagree with many accountants out there. I have often debates even with our internal CFO where he goes, well, you need to allocate some of the rent of the building. And I said, but if I didn't have a property management division, that expense of the rent of the business
it makes
building
sense, doesn't it?
Will be attributed to the sales department. So if, for example, my rent is $5,000 per month and my property management division makes me an extra $5,000 over and above my wages and I attributed only half the rent to it, I'll be saying that it's only making me $2,500 worth of profit.
Yeah.
And it may not seem as attractive as what it really is. And I'm in totally dispute with most accountants out there who would attribute half the rent to the property.
Because you would have that expense anyway.
Because you'd have it anyway.
You would have the realestate.com subscriptions, you would have the phones, and you have the reception. But there is a tipping point, isn't there? There's a tipping point because, like for us now, we went to 1,000 properties and that's when we needed another building and another receptionist. And obviously that's where we actually split up the two businesses and you had
but
your
the
EBM.
The only additional expense is the premises. The rest of the expenses are
wages,
still there. Wages are still there, subscriptions,
subscriptions.
All your trust accounting programs, you still have those expenses. It really is only the additional rent. So you need to analyze.
Rent roll is really important for your cash flow and for your profitability.
Definitely, and we highly recommend people build their rent rolls
organically.
Sometimes it is worthwhile to purchase them.
Well, we did when we first started. I think it's like a kickstart, isn't it?
Yes.
Really, in a business, like trying to actually build it one at a time without giving it that kickstart, you've got to be prepared with all the expenses that you have to pay. So you've got someone on $60,000 a year and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 properties. You get the message.
Yeah.
It takes you a while to build up to that. Yeah.
And I know it may be a topic for another episode, but I'm going to give you one tip in regards to purchasing rent rolls. If you were to purchase a rent roll, there's the opportunity to either purchase a great run property management division, say out there in the marketplace, and say a distressed property management division, not really run well. Can I recommend, if you're going to pick either two, go for the distressed one. The distressed one, within reason.
Well, you might get a little bit cheaper, but I think, you know, you're going to have to put a lot of resources to fix it up, and it might create a little bit more havoc as it did for us. I think if you get a good one and you pay a little bit more, a good idea would be to actually take some of the staff. If you buy a beautifully run rent roll and you take the people with it, like a couple of the proper, two or three of the proper managers with it, I think that's a good thing as well.
Yeah,
so it's horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah.
It could work
you
either way.
You can tell we don't agree with everything, guys. No.
We actually disagree on a lot of things, but that's
But
a
there's
good
the
thing.
Two options.
Yeah.
Distressed, in stressed, or
you pick it up
perfect.
For a better price,
yeah, exactly.
or a really good one.
I just feel that a distressed one, your service levels, if you get in there straight away, the new landlords will get greater service levels and expectations, and hence your retention will be greater. Where if you've got a really well-run property management division that's been grown by the owner now is retiring, to meet those expectations and that one-on-one relationship that owner may have had is sometimes
you
harder.
Have to be prepared.
You have to have really good staff
and you have to be prepared. And you shouldn't be buying it, and you shouldn't be adding to your rent roll if you're not prepared.
No,
you have
definitely.
To have the systems in place and actually, to accommodate.
Finishing off on profitability, one of the other sayings I have is volume is vanity and profit is sanity.
That is a good one.
So it's one of those things that when you're in especially in sales, and actually the same applies in rentals.
Mm.
Sometimes people think that I've got to get to the 1,000 rentals because I'll be more, it's more of an ego thing sometimes that I've seen rather than a profitability.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you go backwards constantly in problem management, don't you? So you get to a level where you've got to actually put a lot more human resources on, and then
it's what we call the law of diminishing returns. And we've faced that in a number of our businesses inside real estate and outside real estate. So the law of diminishing returns is really to understand when do you actually get to that sweet spot of profitability in your rental department.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens with your sales department. Like we have seen sales businesses that, you know, turn over $2 million and there's absolutely no profit in there for the owners of the business. It's because they're not running it correctly. They're not on top of their fixed expenses. They don't understand where the actual profit is coming from. So having a full understanding of your business is absolutely critical when it comes to profitability.
So much.
And every moving part, every single expense. Just another tip that we'll give the viewers. One of the things that's really helped us in our business is I check every single invoice. Well, I used to check every single invoice. Well, I have a checking procedure. Which I still do.
Yeah. It's pretty easy now with Xero.
It is.
Well, as soon as we changed from our previous accounting package to Xero,
which
and
is
if you're not using Xero, have a look at it. It's an amazing platform. You can do it from your phone. Sometimes go on your phone and you just check the bills. But as a business owner,
we don't physically pay the bills. We do have our bookkeeping. But and my executive assistant, which is Costa, he looks at every single invoice and he's got an Excel spreadsheet which monitors all our fixed expenses open at the same time. So he can look at, say, well, what is a variable cost? What is a fixed cost? Have we added to our monthly fixed overheads and how will that impact our business?
Mm.
The other thing that it does when you're checking invoices is keeping all your suppliers honest, because there's been many occasions where suppliers actually make mistakes.
And there's been occasions where you've had bills that we've had nothing to do with our company.
I'm sure,
it's like $2,000 or $3,000 and it's like we've never dealt
with these
people.
They've sent it to the wrong office.
Yeah.
They've sent it to the wrong office.
So your bookkeeper wouldn't know. You would have to actually
check that off.
Yeah.
So just another tip.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you, Manos. Always enjoying talking profit with you. And I've been so lucky. I said it before, I know about it, but I actually never had to overlook it because you do that and you do a great job.
And look, we've said it with some other people that we've interviewed on the show. If you'd like a health check, if you'd like me to give you some advice or some tips on is your business in profit or how you can make it more profitable, by all means, just put a comment below.
Get
private Manos message
in there.
Me.
Yeah.
Happy to take phone calls and we can just discuss how we operate our business and if there's something that we can help you with and get you more profitable.
Awesome.
Done.
Thank you for joining us at another episode, and I hope you enjoyed today's show, which was Profit, the accountant's version and our version, which is quite different. Also, please feel free to ask us any questions. Go below this video on our Facebook page and put any questions that you might want answered, and we'll be more than happy to jump on
and share it with someone who you may think may benefit from it.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you next time.